One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
It's the free throw right there. For the first time, hear the shocking true story behind Girls Gone Wild.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
No. Jared. More juice. Turn it up. It's the playoffs.
It's the NBA playoffs here on the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Jared Weiss. He's Mo DeKeel. Jade Boy is producing the show. We had three really fun games on.
Don't undersell it, Jared. Don't undersell it. We had three fantastic games tonight. This was great basketball.
This was a triple epic of basketball. And we're going to start with the epicest of them all. Watching Minnesota have a 25-point lead, 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and then somehow losing by, they end up losing 104-95. But it was a 104-92 game with a few seconds left here. Memphis pulls off an absolutely insane comeback in this one to take the 2-1 series lead after it looked like Minnesota was going to steal one again.
I mean, it was stunning, Jared. First off, the Wolves had two different 20-point leads in this game. Two different times, they're like, yo, this game's over. And the Memphis Grizzlies refused to allow their season to kind of start to sort of fade away. They went completely nuts in the fourth quarter. An unbelievable performance. 37-12 in the fourth quarter. Jared, I've never seen anything like that. Have you?
I did tonight. And that was it. That hasn't happened any other time besides that. Yeah. Where do we even begin here? I mean, it's...
Oh, okay. Just one more thing.
Sure.
This was the weirdest game of runs. Like, we always talk about, hey, basketball's a game of runs. Tonight was literally that. We had two 12-0 runs by the Minnesota Timberwolves. We had a 15-0 run by the Memphis Grizzlies. I think somewhere in there we had a 14-0 run by the Wolves. And then, Jared, I think we had a 21-0 run by the Grizzlies. It was all runs.
So, with 45 seconds left in the third quarter, it was 83-62. And then it got to 83-83.
I mean, it's just absurd.
I don't think I've ever
seen
that
before.
Oh, my God.
When we're trying to drive a wedge between two players, you know, maybe that's not the intent, but I think we all could agree that writing about Rudy, Donovan not passing to Rudy, and responding to a still shot picture and say, well, there it is. There's proof.
So, okay, Ja Morant. Let's talk about him. He's good. He's good. He did a ton of scoring during that run. What did he find finally to actually get to the rack after he had barely scored before that?
I think he was just, you know, it's the thing about Ja is he will always find his way into the paint somehow. Right? And it's a question of, can he get to the line? He got to the free throw 10 times, the line 10 times, only made 5. Like, you're watching him, and it wasn't even like a particularly great night for him. It was really a Desmond Bane night, right? Like, he went completely ballistic, 26 points. He was unbelievable, hitting some big shots, 7-15 from 3. Yeah, unreal, man. Fun game.
He took just threes alone. He took the third most shots on their team. I mean, that was unbelievable. He was absolutely launching. And I mean, that's what they needed, right? Or that's what made them so good this year, was they just have all these moments where, like, they have a really nice system built around Ja, and then Bane can just come in there kind of the way Chris Middleton can for Milwaukee and just completely light you up in the early fourth quarter.
And man, they needed it. They got it. Not only a tough night from Morant shooting from the floor, Dylan Brooks 4-for-14, Jaren Jackson Jr. unable to stay on the floor, just kept fouling. Jared,
yeah, 5 fouls, 21 minutes.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's something that's really going to be something he's got to work on. Like, we talk about him being a potential defensive player of the year guy, and the truth is, if you're going to do that, you got to be able to be on the court, and that starts with not fouling on the defensive end. So, I mean, Big play from Desmond Bane. Like, he's the reason to me why they won this game.
Yeah, I mean, just that bucket to tie it up at 83, where Ja just kind of, it's funny, we're so used to Ja just going kind of crazy, spinning, hezzies, crossover, stuff like that, getting to the lane. I like how we kind of slowed it down a little bit there on that play, slowly drags everybody to the baseline, then a left-hand whip pass of Bane wide open in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, this is the stuff, like, he's got you so conditioned for the speed. Now he's able to start toggling. And if he can start managing playing slow and playing fast, God, watch out, man. That's something that's going to come in the next couple of years. And that's when everybody's really going to be in trouble when it comes to Ja Morant.
Yeah, I mean, you knew Ja was feeling it because they're up by 10 with a minute left. And they could kind of really dribble that one out if they really want to. And he does wait until the end and he just blows by everybody anyway for the layup. And you could just tell Ja was so frustrated with the way it was going. But maybe that's – if they could get a win in a game where Ja's pissed off that he played so poorly, that seems really like bad news for Minnesota going forward.
This is a gut punch for Minnesota. I don't know what else to say. Like, you blow these leads and – feeling like, I mean, it felt like, hey, we're really rolling. You know, they had Cat wired for sound during the second quarter, and he's talking about like, yeah, this is what it's like in Minnesota when they were up 22. And man, you have the faces of those Minnesota Timberwolves fans after the game. Man, it looked real sad, Jared. I mean, they looked like me in the wintertime, man. It's cold. They looked so sad.
I mean, we knew this was going to be a roller coaster of emotions for them, considering how insane, like the level of jubilation they had when they won the play-in game. That was, I can't even remember feeling that happy when I was a fan and I saw my team win a championship. Like, that was beyond championship winning almost.
I'm totally happy for them there. And I got some good news for Minnesota. Carl Anthony Towns shot 75% from the field tonight. He only took four shots. That's the bad news. You got to get more out of Towns, plain and simple. Him also getting into foul trouble, but four shots for probably your best player, most talented player, that's not going to cut it for you at all in this series or at any point in any game.
It was four shots, four turnovers, one assist. And we've seen a few of these moments here with Cat where he is just having atrocious numbers in these games. What do you think is, like, why is he... It's not just that he's like having a bad game. Like, if you're a star, your bad game's supposed to be you shot 7 for 20 from the field or something like that. He's just not even putting out anything.
I don't even have an answer, Jared. I'm just as stunned as everybody else. Like, for all the talk that he does, and some of it's earned, but some of it's like, yo, dude, you got to step up. This was a game you needed to step up when they were coming up and going on this run, especially in the second half. You're the guy that's got to step up for your team and say, we're ending it here. You got to stop the run. That's your job there when you're the star player. Slow down the game, get the ball in the post, and go to work. Or pick and pop and attack in space from there. But you got to do something to stop those runs. And plain and simple, Cat did not do it, and that's going to be a problem for the Wolves going forward.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBA Show 23 and get started.
Next game, Golden State Warriors are up 3-0 on the Denver Nuggets. They win 118 to 113. I was watching soccer earlier today. So this was as you would expect from the Warriors, because Jordan Poole, starter, had 27 points. Steph Curry, six man, had 27 points.
I mean, and Klay Thompson, 26 points. You know, I don't know what we're calling the three of that trio. We had the Splash Brothers plus one, or are we just calling it a pool party or whatever? Ooh, but I mean, unbelievable the stuff that they had going on. And it's not just that, though, like, because this was a really good game for the Nuggets. Like, this obviously was their best game in the playoffs so far after two massive blowouts. 37 points from Jokic. You get a big night from Aaron Gordon, 18 points and 12 rebounds, and you're not able to pull it off. And it's going to come down to plays like Draymond Green making a massive defensive play at the end of towards the end of the game. It's Andrew Wiggins making a corner three, getting a defensive stop, and maybe a game-winning offensive rebound that led to a Jordan Poole layup. Like, that sequence alone was a massive one there, and really kind of almost put the game away for the Warriors.
Feels very Warriors-esque to say the words game-winning offensive rebounds. they don't do anything normal there, do they? One of my favorite moments of this game that I feel like defined the series pretty well, ironic that it was coming from Steph because Steph's been hurt, is Steph just completely blowing by Nikola Jokic in the pick and roll with a couple minutes left, scores at the rim, and then puts him to bed. He does like the little like sleepy time, like resting his head on the pillow kind of thing. And sure, at this point, you know, 3-0 Denver down, they're not getting Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. back. You know, you assume that this is probably over. But what did you think? The point of this question is Nikola Jokic. So Nikola Jokic, he had 37 points, 14 for 22 shooting, 18 boards, 5 dimes, 3 steals, 5 turnovers, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Usual Jokic potency. And yet the defense continued to be an issue for him. So what does this game or this series say about how you view Nikola Jokic, who it looks like is probably going to win MVP again this year?
I mean, it doesn't change my view on Jokic. You know, I know this is going to be the discourse that's going to be going on for a while about this, but I mean, at the start of the season, did anybody have this team being in the playoffs or at least not having to go through the play-in tournament? Like, I think, you know, the discourse is going to turn on Jokic, but that's just a product of everybody else. You know, the team around him missing two major pieces in Porter and Murray and all of that. Like, it's not a team that's really should have been expected to compete all that much. So it's not going to change anything for me with Jokic. I still think he's an unbelievable player, but it's just, you know, this was just one of those years. And I was going into the season going, this is a lost season for the Nuggets. And they got a couple of guys that really had opportunities to step up. Will Barton got some big reps and all of that stuff. Bone Highland's got some reps. He had some nice little run here in the second half, and I think sort of fell off. But I'm not with everybody that's going to start turning on Jokic.
Okay, I'm done with Jokic. Kick him out of the league. Last game for us, Dallas Mavericks 126, Utah Jazz 118. The Mavs lead the series 2-1. This has just not been pretty from Utah. Utah, they had a lead about halfway through the first quarter, and then they never saw that one again.
If you wanted to watch a team fall apart live, and what I mean by like everybody's going to be going their different ways at the end of the playoffs, whether they win this series or lose this one, you're kind of watching it in this game. You know, some interesting things here, Jared. I thought defensively the Mavs have just done a great job all series limiting the Jazz's threes. They only got 28 three-point attempts in this game. The Mavericks had more corner three makes than the Jazz just had makes, you know, from that point. And I think it was super impressive with everything that the Mavs did in this game. And then, of course, we got to talk about your boy Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, he really is my boy. I love this guy so much, especially because coming to the league, I didn't think he'd be that great. I thought he would turn into like a good six-man fringe starter, and he really has cleared that hurdle easily. 31 points, 12 for 22 shooting. He had 31 points. He missed all of his threes, and he had 5 dimes and only 1 turnover. And I mean, between him and Spencer Dinwiddie, the way Dinwiddie was attacking, he had that huge dunk. I mean, like, Dinwiddie's playing well for them. They have done an amazing job of getting by without Luka Doncic.
I mean, it's not only that, it's they've had the best player in the series. I think you can argue that Jalen Brunson's been the best player in the series. He had a 41-point night. Yeah, at 31 tonight, only one turnover. Like, this is, he's been unbelievable, everything that he's done. And again, they're up 2-1 without having to play Luka. I mean, they can afford to just sit Luka game four. Don't even rush him back for that game.
That's actually a legitimate idea, because he could, it seems like he certainly could play in that one. But you're up, you can close it if you get that one. You feel pretty comfortable with that. But if you don't, then you're right even. So do you really think it's worth doing that with the way that they're playing?
No, if you have an opportunity to go up 3-1, and let's just be honest, if you win, if you took two games from the Jazz in Utah, like, I mean, I would wonder what their spirits would be like going into game five. But it's something to think about, depending where you're at with Luka's injury and how you feel. You know, if you feel like, hey, we have a chance to win this game anyways, you know, maybe we do give Luka an extra couple days rest and have him get ready to go for game five and, you know, six or seven if we need it.
I mean, Dallas probably, with the way that they're playing, is it reasonable that they should be thinking beyond even just like next round? Like, they have a legit chance of getting to the finals?
I mean, the way things are lining up with the Devin Booker injury and things like that, like, it's not a out of the realm of possibility that they can make this run. And I think one thing that's also important to kind of just look at is, how do you manage everything, maintain the schedule? They're going to play game four on Saturday night, and then if they need it, or they will need it, game five on Monday night. So, you know, if you can steal extra days, it's something to look at. You got to kind of start managing these things a little bit. But they got their eye on the prize right now. And the way they're playing, I mean, hell, Jared, they almost won game one. I mean, they had a layup and a corner and a transition three that would have really kind of changed everything in the finals minute of that game.
Listen, man, I'm hyped for Dorian Finney-Smith, finals MVP, hearing that ring from the Raptors 2 months from now. It's going to be beautiful.
There's one more thing we got to talk about, because the most interesting thing in this game for Utah was they finally went to a small ball lineup playing Eric Pascal, and that brought them back into this game. And it's amazing. Game, what is it, like 85 for them, and they finally figure out maybe we need a small ball lineup to go to it, and it was really productive. It spread out the Mavs. It allowed them to attack the paint a little more easily and things like that. It's something I would watch for in game four, but it's something that they've been needing to do all year long.
Yeah, they were down by 14 when Gobert went out halfway through the third quarter. They put in Whiteside for a minute, and they're like, maybe not. And then they were, I think when Pascal came in, they were up. It was 83-66. There we go, for Dallas. When he came out of the game, it was 101-97. Like, it really tightened up over that period. And Mitchell went off. Yeah. Mitchell went completely off in the late third.
He went off on the offensive end. He was terrible on the defensive end. It is amazing how much worse of a defender he's become in the league since he entered.
Takes a lot of effort to get all those offensive points, so I guess he has to give them all back up on the defensive end. Either way,
well, it doesn't matter, right? Yeah, if it doesn't matter, you score 31 on one end and then give up 45 on the other. What are you doing?
You're playing net negative basketball. That's going to do it for us here on the Daily Ding. He's Mo DeKeel. Jade Hoy is our producer. I'm Jared Weiss. This is the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. Take us out of here, Mo.
Ding, ding.